March 22nd, and ladies and gentlemen, we have set the time, we've got it down, and we are waiting on the countdown as we keep the lunar calendar. Now, the lunar calendar will declare unto you the times that you're to keep it. Yahweh said, today will be the beginning of the month for you, and it was in the month of Abib when the winter barley came up in early spring. And so we know from the festival, also we know by the word tukufu, meaning the equalization of time with the history of the ancient Israelites who came abroad. There is astrological evidence everywhere that they went. They guarded or watched for the heavens to equalize the day and the night becoming equal. That's what they watched for. And then after the equalization, they kept what is described as the first, they took the first moon after that time, and they begin to count. And every year in the Passover season, it fell in April for the first Passover. Now, we'd like to talk to you a little bit about the first Passover, why that it's now no longer legal to keep the first Passover. You say, well, why, Pastor Buddy? Well, number one, all Israel, wherever they congregated in the land when they had the temple in Jerusalem, Moses had made a decree from the law that they must all gather wherever the name was placed on the temple as a meeting place for the whole family. Now, remember, all of the 13 tribes were kin to each other. And so each year they kept what is known as a Passover together. Now, those who fail to come to the first Passover when commanded to do so, they were cut off. Now, when we say cut off, that means that they had their property confiscated, and it turned over to the next of kin, in other words, from the firstborn they would go to the next son and give that relationship, that birthright, handed it off to the next of kin, and they would take away that person's property, the right to exist in Israel, and they would be dismissed, packed up, and sent out of the territory of Israel. Now that is a, you know, it's a pretty severe punishment, because today it doesn't matter where you keep it or not, does it? It really don't matter. Now, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. We don't keep the old law no more, do we, Pastor Buddy? You know, that's the kind of attitude that you hear around the country when you tell people that they should come to the Passover. Ah, nah, that's Jewish. We don't keep that no more. That's under the law. We have Easter services at our place, and that takes care of our obligation to keep a Passover. We don't do it like they did it. That's the Jewish way. I've heard that probably 10,000 times over the years that I've been keeping Passover. Does it line up with the Word? When they lost their right to keep the Passover, when they refused to keep it, that person or that family would, like I said, be cut off from the land of Israel. Now, if we look at these people that have not, even those that keep it here in the United States, now watch them. They'll tell you they're keeping the first Passover. They believe in keeping that first Passover. Just like Yahweh said. But they will not go back to where Yahweh said to keep it. Oh, we don't have to pay no attention to that no more, Pastor Buddy. The Bible says that you kept it where the temple was, where he had his name, like I said. And those who would not come to the first Passover, if they lived in the borders of Israel, if they were not in a far journey, if they had not touched a dead body, if they were sanctified and had their papers that they were clean, then they must appear before you. Every male that represented headship in the family had to assemble at Jerusalem. They couldn't go to Shiloh, although that's where the first Passover was kept after they got into the land. Shiloh became the original place where Yahweh placed his name. It was moved by David, justifiably so, according to the Word, I guess, to what we call Mount Zion, the supposedly the same place that Abraham offered up Isaac on the mountain. It was moved there, and all Israel was commanded to attend. We know that by reading the New Testament, all Israel was in attendance when the Messiah kept the final Passover, not as celebrating the meal, but being the Passover. There's a difference there, and we're going to get into the mysteries of that. We're going to tell you how that we see the Bible after 50 years of studying, the only legal way to keep the Passover without going back to Jerusalem where his name was, where they tore that place down, where it says in 1 Samuel 7 and 10 that the Israelites who would be cast out for their disobedience, for failing, number one, to keep the Sabbath and his Passovers and his festivals, and his times appointed, they were scattered abroad, never to return, never, never to return. Now, you've heard this theology of the Christian church. Oh, wait till the Jews return back to Jerusalem or to Israel. Ladies ladies and gentlemen, there is not one scripture in the Bible that would justify someone who had ancestors that belonged to the house of Jacob, known as Israelites, scattered abroad among the heathen, losing, number one, their nation, never to return to it, to become lost sheep. For Christ said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in the 15th chapter, the 24th verse, go not in the way of the Gentiles, he said, but go only to the lost sheep. Go not to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep that was scattered among the Gentiles. Now, people today have narrowed two classes of people, Jew and Gentile. That's an error. Most people want to see if the body is right in Jerusalem or if the moon was sighted somewhere in Jerusalem where that they can keep the Jerusalem custom. And that's not Bible. The equalization and the time appointed can be kept in the heavens astrologically anywhere on earth if you're keeping the lunar calendar. Now, if you're not, you are failing to keep the same calendar that they kept when they were keeping these commandments, and Yahweh talked about a people that would give him mouth service, say and do not. Most of them go to a church. They take the, what we call the setter. They sit down. They pour them a cup of grape juice. Give them a cracker. And they drink that and eat that and wipe their mouth and say they kept the Passover. Is that true? The answer is no. Well, is there any justification for keeping the first Passover? I don't think so. Although I don't fall out with you for keeping the first Passover, I admonish you to dig a little bit deeper, to study, to pray, to seek and to search. When they, the only way that you can legally keep the Passover today abroad, scattered, lost sheep, found in a strange land, is to keep the second Passover. Yahweh wrote the law in there, and he also included that if that person, that man that was required to keep it, if he would not keep it, he was to be cut off. And so then, it's a very important thing, I think. Plus, it gives you a justified reason, biblically and spiritually, to keep the Passover is to meet your friends and acquaintances and those that have come from different areas to keep the Passover. Now, we have worked hard the last few years to buy a place here located in East Tennessee, in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, the beautiful mountain land. We bought 20 acres. We paid for every acre of it. Cash money. Money on the spot. It's paid for. Not one dime owed on the mortgage. By the people that love Yahweh, love to have a place to meet. And the only justification we've got in keeping the Passover is to keep the second Passover, because we have no justification to keep the first one, except we go back to Jerusalem where his name was at. Now, I know a lot of people will come back and say, oh, his name is in me, so I can keep it anywhere I want to. Well, that's jumping the fence. When Yahweh commanded Moses, in those days, they all had to go to Jerusalem. All had to leave the ship, and he had to go back to Jerusalem. I must keep this feast that's coming at Jerusalem, he said. So he returned He was in a far journey, but he had time to get back, and we can follow his adventure and count the days and the time. And that was a Pentecost feast. That was the second feast commanded, the wave offering feast, what we call the wave offering and or the ingathering of a Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that meant that 50 days after they numbered seven Sabbaths. In other words, they would number seven Sabbaths, and then they would have 50 days to keep the Passover, which actually totaled up 99 days, and it put them out in the fourth month of the harvest, which was the ingathering of the summer harvest. The spring harvest was in Passover, the planting and the reaping of the fourth month, as opposed to the second month, where most people keep the Pentecost. There's a lot of teaching. We're going to teach on Pentecost a little later, but tonight we're going to concentrate on the first festival. Yahweh commanded three festivals to be kept by those that love Him and those that would obey Him. Now, you can call Him Lord, but if you don't do what He said to do, He said, why call me Lord? Lord means someone that rules over you. One that decrees. Why call me Lord and do not the things that I say to do? Now, can we keep the Passover outside of Jerusalem? And the answer is yes, we can. Can we keep it legally? Yes, we can. Why? When my father, if I trace my ancestorship that I believe I have in the house of Israel, if I trace it back to that original that lived and had land staked in the land of Israel, he was commanded to go to the temple to keep the Passover, to keep Pentecost, to keep what we call the seventh month ingathering, which is a tabernacle. And so then he was commanded. It was for him a command. But when he left, his offspring, each generation succeeding him, then had a different law applied to them because they were in a far journey. And so then they, justifiably so, kept the ones that remembered, and the Bible says there will be a remnant that will remember me even when they are in a far country or in the isles beyond the seas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you look west where Abraham and the sons of Abraham were promised the land, if you look at where the sun went down standing in the east where he was at, you look upon America. This is a country that was chosen and a country that kept the laws and the commandments. So then, by them being scattered, they then had the authority to keep the second Passover. Because, number one, they had touched a dead body. Number two, they were in a far journey. And so then these were the things that would satisfy Yahweh to give you a second chance to recover yourself when you find yourself in a far country. All you've got to do is place His name in a place of worship, put His name there, and you are entitled to slay the lamb and to keep the rituals of the Passover. It's very important for us to keep the rituals. Now, what were they? Yahweh commanded them to kill the lamb. He told them exactly at what time to kill these lambs, when to begin the killing of a lamb. Now, Passover is not a high Sabbath. It's not a feast. a regular work day. It always comes on the 14th day of the month. That is called the Passover, either first or second. The second Passover would be in May, on May the 14th, by the lunar calendar. Now, not the Gregorian. This is quite confusing to people that are used to looking up on the wall and going by a Gregorian calendar. But if you know the truth, then you look upon the lunar calendar and you find the 14th day counting from the new moon, mark that new moon, we still do it. We still go by the lunar count, biblically and justifiably so, because our ancient fathers kept it by the lunar count. They blowed the trumpet in the new moon. They marked every moon by the blowing of the trumpet. You could tell throughout the land of Israel it was a new moon when they heard all the trumpets blowing from hill to hill. What a glorious sound as they laid down their work tools. They didn't go to gather up the things in the field. Most of them were agricultural farmers. But those that made their living in the city, they quit doing what they did. In the book of Amos, in chapter 5, verse 8, it's recorded that the Israelites became disenchanted with having to keep the new moon festivals, to observe Yahweh's commandments, not to do no servile work for gain. And they complained to him, when will the new moons be gone that we can buy and sell along with the Sabbath? They got tired. They looked at their competition, the Canaanites, and all the nations of the ungodly gathered around them when they looked like they was prospering. You know, it really aggravates you when you see a day, a pretty day, and a good gathering day, and you used to making good money on days like that, and you have to drop that. You can no longer permit it to make any money. And you see the Canaanites out there just banking it up all day long. And Israel saw that and lusted. They yearned. They complained. They murmured. Israel is a backsliding, murmuring, and complaining people. They always want it their way. They never want to give in to Yahweh's way. Yahweh had the better ideal. He promised he would bless them with plenty. He would keep the enemies away from their borders. He would even chase them with bumblebees, the hornets and things of this nature, and keep them out of the land. They wouldn't have to go to war. They didn't need a king. He would be their king. And they clamored for a king. They wanted to be like the Canaanites, a king that would change the rules where they could set and work anytime they wanted to. That's the mindset of people in America. Oh, no, I don't go to the South of Florida, God. No, I don't keep those things. Well, that's under the law. We don't do that no more up here. Well, I'd be fired in a heartbeat. I couldn't keep the new moons. I'd be a pretty looking thing going into General Motors and telling them that I didn't work on the new moon. I agree with you. They won't understand. But the question is, and I know plenty of people that's done or been where these complaining people are still complaining. You wanted it your way, you got it your way. But Yahweh's way never did change because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. By change, when he had the correct understanding of his own word. That's why he never changes, because he don't have to. He didn't make a mistake. He had it well thought out. All these things were declared from the very beginning. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away. You can't add to it or take from. But the complaining Israelites, the hard-headed, disobedient, rebelling Israelites, complained in Amos chapter 8, verse 5, until Yahweh gave them up to worship the gods of the land. He gave them what they wanted. And then he hid himself from them and sent them a packing. Now today, a small remnant, I'm talking about those who really love him, those who want to keep his commandments, those that want to call upon him when he can be found, those that look toward Yahweh for the instruction, those that will not take man's word for it, but want Yahweh's word, those that still keep the new moons, those that keep the Sabbath according to the plan of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46. He said the gates in the city to the temple, talking about the temple gate, they will not be opened until the new moon and the Sabbath. Well, if you open the gate on the new moon, and then you can't work that day, that's day one, and then you keep 6 days to keep the Sabbath, then the Sabbath will be kept on the eighth day. So it'd be 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29, just like it is on the ancient Israelite calendars of old. Nothing has changed. Yahweh's gate system and opening and closing is still the same. Nothing can be added to it. If you read the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it's recorded there in the millennial reign in the new kingdom that they will still keep his new moons and his Sabbaths. Nothing ever changes. You can bank on that. And so the authorization of the second Passover, you don't have to worry about it whether you're right or wrong. You don't worry about having to go back to Jerusalem where his name was placed and where he tore down that temple, never to be rebuilt. He sent the people packing, never to return. What would be your only option legally if you still want to keep Yahweh's word? It'd be the second Passover. And yet we got people kick on it. Oh, we still believe we're going to keep the first one. They think that that makes them much holier. In fact, it makes them break the word of Yahweh. I would rather keep his word, keep the second Passover in a far country, and I can kill the lamb right in my own gate. Anywhere you find yourself in a far journey, at that appointed time, by the rituals, it's very important you keep these rituals. And how was that, Pastor Buddy? Well, they killed the lamb. They put the lamb up 3 days or 4 days before it was to be killed. Then they would kill the lamb at the going down of the sun between the two evenings. Starting at 3 o'clock. That's where that 3 o'clock hour came from. And we know that that was the ninth hour when Christ himself, who was the living lamb, a type chosen, that's why he brought Passover in, to teach those that there was coming a Messiah who would be the Passover. And he kept it faithfully, and at 3 o'clock, he died. He was taken down and buried, and so then we eat the Passover meal in remembrance of these commemorations that we do. Everyone ought to have a clear pattern in their head and in their mind. And that's why I teach on it every year. I teach on this. Because he said, keep it as a memorial, as a statue, perpetually, forever. Show the children. Teach it to them. Hand it down. And we drill it into everyone's head that comes to our festivals, or those that hear me on the radio, sponsored by those who love this teaching. There's people that, I know all about that. Well, I don't care. That's not important. They want a flyaway doctrine. They want something to tickle their ears. They'd rather go to a faith healing campaign by Benny Wynn. Or Billy Frank, whoever. They'd rather hear something that can't be read, something would justify them to do in a Christian concept. And I've talked last night on the message of pagan Easter. And Passover is no different. It's become a pagan ritual. Through Easter, changed from Passover into what we call in the Christian era as Easter. Ladies and gentlemen, search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. There is a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof is death. From such turn away. Now when you turn away from those that are pagan, those that teach pagan practices, I don't care how many people attend or what kind of crowd, when you get to the true place, it'll only be a few. Remember that. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. That's why we call this the King's Gate. And it is a narrow way. Ask Brother Bob. He came up here the first time before we fixed the little path into this property. And he made a sudden turn. And he's got about a 65 or 70 foot motor home. And off the side of the road he went, trying to pull in. It just don't have no hinges in the middle where it would turn like a tractor trailer. And so, and there was a miracle on how we got that out, how it was pulled out. It was a wonderful miracle how Yahweh brought Brother Bob out of there, and the motorhome was no worse for the tear and the wear on it, and did no damage except our egos and things of that nature. But we got over that. We fixed the road. We widened it. To the point where now even people with motor homes can come in to our driveway. We have built the assembly now. Instead of having a tent, we've been in a tent for I don't know how many years. We've been in borrowed places I don't know how many years. But today we have a place that belongs to Yahweh. So when you come, don't come thinking that this place belongs to Pastor Buddy or others, that it don't. It belongs to Yahweh 100%. Yahweh is the king here. That's why we call it the King's Gate. The narrow gate, the place is called where we put his name. The assembly is now being constructed, put together. We worked on it today. And Brother Preston has been doing some sheetrocking. The other couple brothers we got working here have been fixing the plumbing and the heating and things of this nature that we needed to have done. We've got a project to roof it, like I said last night. That's going to cost about $4,000 to $5,000, and we really need your help. If you could think of us, and it would come to mind that you could bless us, well, we'll be looking for it because it would certainly help us. Yahweh bless you as you think about it. Put it in action. Be a blesser. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive anyway. So send it to Yahweh's house where we can put every penny that we receive plus into the house where we can make it comfortable for those of you who drive great distances, where the sound is going to be much better, where the elements are going to be more controllable, and with the roof over our head, we're promised not to get wet like we did last year when the tent blew down. I mean, the devil really gets mad when we gather. The year before that, in the Passover last year, it rained like the whole sky opened up. It was incredible. I was so thankful and so honored of the tough ability of these saints who sat it out. I mean, they had to move up on benches to get their feet out of the water that washed under the tent. They got wet going to the baptisms because it never let up raining and things of that nature. It was a test of their faith, just like the ancient Israelites who had to sit out in the rain for 3 days just to listen to the reading and the reestablishing of Yahweh's word. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to exercise the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's wonderful for those who love Yahweh and who will keep his commandments, who will go and search a matter out and hear the wisdom of a matter. The second Passover is hidden from most of the eyes of those who profess. They don't pause. They won't think. They won't hear the word. They're set in their ways. They won't change. They're heady and high-minded. Does it matter, Pastor Buddy, which festival you keep? I believe it does. Keep the one that is commanded and authorized and to justify you what you do. You have permission from Yahweh himself to keep the second Passover in a far journey. And if you will have acknowledged your fathers was in a far journey, then wherever they had you, you found yourself in a far journey. If you've got enough memory to come back to your original father who was separated from the land for his disobedience, and he was cast out of the land, make your election and calling sure. People drive for long distances. I know that this year the gasoline prices are up 30-some percent. They were already high to start with, and they jumped up another 30%. I know that this season also that the foodstuffs have jumped up just 3% this week. I heard on the news this morning that the price of food is 3%. It's already been up. I don't know how many times it's gone up, but from now, this week, another 3%, and the store manager said he expects, by looking at his invoices, to the foods that are coming in for next week are going to jump another 3%. So they're taking advantage, people, in the last days. Perilous times are going to come. Hard times. Economic sacrifices that you're going to have to make. You're going to have to leave your job. You're going to have to take money out of the bank if you've got any, and it'd be wise for you to do that anyway, and spend it on a rightful reason to come to the Passover to spend a week. Now, I've been keeping Passover for years and years and years. I remember the first Passover that we kept in New Tazewell, We were on the side of the road in a little assembly, and we killed the lamb at the appointed time, and you won't believe what kind of stink that raised in the community. We got accused of drinking lamb's blood, that we were pagans. Now, if we'd have had, I told the brethren after this uproar that it caused us killing the lamb, they thought it was sacrilegious to do that. And I said, I wonder if we'd have put up a sign, pig roast today, here at the house of Yahweh. Them people would have been breaking their neck, locking their brakes up, trying to get in the driveway. It's an incredible shame how paganistic we have become. When you become biblically oriented towards truth, they'll think you're strange. That's what the Bible says that they would do. They would think you're strange. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are. We are a chosen, peculiar, strange people that keep Yahweh's laws. The time will come, he said, that they will call good evil and evil good. It'll come when men will not endure sound doctrine. I've got brothers that I've taught this doctrine to, and they still won't hear the word. They'll put up every excuse for changing it, or for not keeping the second Passover. They'll do everything to keep the first one. It's true that they do keep the Passover and give them credit. And I acknowledge that, and I don't contend with them over that issue. But I just wish we could come together and get on the same page by keeping Yahweh's word as it's written in his laws. Just like we're still under the law. There's no difference today than there was then. We still keep it by the rituals thereof. We kill the lamb, we take the bitter herbs, which strangely cast a shadow over Israel, that we are still in hard bondage. And the bitter evil system that rules over it. These are the bitter things that daily life gives us. And when we sit down to these bitter herbs as a salad, and we share this meal of lamb. Well, we went down to the Kroger's and we got us a leg of lamb and we kept the Passover patty, but that ain't what it said to do. If you're going to keep it according to the ritual, if you're not going to keep it according to the ritual, you don't need to keep it at all. It's very important. He specified, keep it according to the rites and the rituals thereof. Make sure that you cover every detail. That's very important. When time changes, remember that you don't kill the lamb at 3 o'clock, you wait till 4. That's the sundial time. Because man has changed time, they'll do anything to throw you out of the rituals. And so you've got to allow for those who would turn you from the faith. And daily, it's a contention. Earnestly contend. If you think it's a bed of roses, if you think it's everything's going to fall in place, if you think you ain't going to have to sacrifice, and you ain't going to have to pray, and to keep his word, well, then you've got another thinker coming. You're in for a great surprise. When you would do good, evil is always present to resist you. And those in the last days that would turn from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of devils, we could express all day long about the paganistic rituals that man keeps. And you read Yahweh's word, oh yeah, I know they've done it that way, but that was back under the law. Our pastor says today we don't have to do that. So how'd you do it today? Oh, we just went to church and and we had communion. We had the grape juice and the bread. I don't drink wine now. I asked them to give me grape juice, and they did. Matter of fact, they said that's all they had. I was so thankful I didn't have to drink that old wine. Ladies and gentlemen, people are so fearful and superstitious, and the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yahweh. It takes men and women that are willing to be persecuted and talked about when they teach the rituals of the Passover in true form. They're going to be hated and despised. They're going to cast your name out as evil. When you get out of the Easter rituals, when you quit dying Easter eggs, when you quit buying your Easter clothes, when you quit bringing boxes of chocolate rabbits and present them one another, when you quit doing all these strange paganistic goddess worship rituals of Easter, you get into the true aspects of Passover. May Yahweh bless you and give you knowledge. May He keep you in the understanding of His ways. May He prosper you. Now, the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? A preacher that's worth his salt will study these things out. I don't have any habits that would take my mind away from studying the Scriptures. When I was a young man, I just got out of the service. I felt my calling. I was 20 years old. I felt this strong calling. And from that day, at that point in my life, I surrendered to Yahweh 100% and made it my objective to serve Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. I've been in the way for a long time. I have seen and asked for the old path. I've had to change my mind many times. A wise man will, and a fool never will. So be willing to change when you hear the word. Humble yourself. I've had to fast and pray over things that came to me in Revelation. I fasted sometimes to the point I got sick. I was concerned. I want to do things right. I don't want a form. I don't want a fashion. I don't want to seem right. I want to be right. Heaven is cheap at any price. I want heaven. Take this whole world and give me Yahweh. He that cometh to me and hateth not. There's some things that you've got to hate in this world. If there's anything in this world that takes up more of your time doing it than it is to serve Yahweh, get rid of it. Denounce it. Give it up. Turn from it. Flee from it. Because it may be the very thing that could knock you out. The Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. Job mentioned by the skin of his teeth. If you've ever been to a dentist that's grinding off your enamel, you'll know that's pretty thin. It's a hard saying. Just like that trip to the dentist. It's hard. It's hard on you. And he don't seem to have no mercy on you, but when he fixes your tooth and stops the ache and the pain, you love the guy. You appreciate it. And so it is with Yahweh. He's got a hard saying, and who will hear it? If you will hear and turn from your wicked ways and conform to Yahweh's way. He put some of these things in here as a test. And I mentioned last night on the radio program that they favored Ham ham is one of the unclean foods. It's swine's flesh. You are not to eat swine's flesh. And yet people use it as a delicacy when they bake their hams, the pigs, in remembrance of Talmud, who was slayed by a boar, a swine, a pig. They get revenge, and when they eat that pig's body, they pay homage to justifying and revenging Talmud. They wept because he was killed by a swine. People were seen in the temple in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel weeping for Talmud, who was killed by a pig. And so then in Easter celebration of the rebirth of Talmud, of the Immaculate Conception, the sun rose. We honor the sun by turning our face toward the east in worship and eating swine's flesh and calling it Yahweh's commandments. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got my message tonight on the sons of Abraham as they have come a long way away from Yahweh. It's time that we return to Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. It's the time to hear Yahweh's word. Passover is the most widely celebrated Hebrew holiday and commemorates the biblical story of the book of Exodus, that a Savior had to be given on our behalf, and the Lamb was chosen as a perfect type. And he, the living lamb, that came and offered up his own self and the rites that went through. When the Passover is done correctly, you'll get the message of someone that laid down his life for you. So he done something you couldn't do. He paid the price. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh loves those that love him. You can write me. That's Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy tonight. I hope you're receiving me. Give me a radio check after a while if you can. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on WWRB at 423-351-1082. May Yahweh bless you, and may He keep you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our website before we leave the air tonight. We have about 8 minutes to talk about that, so I would like to remind you that we have a brand new website developed by Brother Bob. He spent many hours involved in the website. Got a comment tonight from one of our good brothers that he really appreciated the website. Brother Bob has made some shortcuts to where it's quicker to download the messages. You can also download more than one at a time. And so if you're downloading the message and it takes forever, if you've got like a slow speed computer, by downloading these messages in audio, it takes quite a while. Well, if you go up and select a message to download, download that one, click it, open it up, and it'll start downloading. And you can see the progress of your player as it downloads. Well, just go and select another one and another one. and another one up, I believe, bumps it to 6 messages that you can download at the same time. Now, the one that you start first naturally will download first. But you don't have to wait till all of that downloads before you can download another. And to save time, go ahead and select you 6 messages, click on them, download them all at the same time, and then you've got them in your player, and it'll play one after the other of continuous play. Praise Yahweh. That's one of the features of this new website, and it's unique to our website. We don't know of anyone else that's got it, because our webmaster developer wrote the program himself for this particular way of downloading. It's quite surprising to me when Bob told me how to do this, and it was available on our website. And so we're thankful that that's one of the exclusive properties of OneYahweh.com. Our website is simply OneYahweh.com. Now, that's not the number one. That's the letter OneYahweh.com. So, if you go to OneYahweh.com, you will notice that you have what is called the website of Pastor Buddy, OneYahweh.com. You can go there and download our message. We have thousands of hours of messages that you can download. We have hundreds of articles and information that is been given to you, and we have selected this information as wisely as we know how, and hope that you enjoy the selections of articles, some that we have written, some others have written, with full credits and titles put up there for your, if you'd like to download them and to print them off, you have our permission to do so, and you can very easily at the click of your mouse, you can go to our website and download all this information. Now, we are coming on tomorrow night on The Late Show. That'll be Pastor Buddy at 11 Eastern Standard Time. 11 o'clock now, Eastern Standard. It'll be 10 Central around the world. We'll be joining you live on WWRB at 11 o'clock with The Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I'll see you then, and may Yahweh bless you, and may He keep you. And if you have an offering to send us on the help in on our chapel, we call it the King's Gate Inn. If you could help us, I got a offering today earmarked especially for the chapel. And I appreciate those who think about Pastor Buddy up here. It's a lonely walk when you have to go pay for the materials and pay the labor. It's a lonely walk if you don't have the funds. Praise Yahweh. And so far, Yahweh has blessed us, and we've carried on even right down till today. We spent the whole day working on the chapel, putting in, taking out a dishwasher. The dishwasher was in bad repair. It can't be used. We need a dishwasher. We need a washer and dryer. We need a refrigerator. None of these would work that came with the unit. They were old and worn out. If you have a dishwasher, or if you have a stove, a gas stove preferably, I'd like to have a gas stove to cook on. The ladies prefer the gas. And we need washer and dryer. we're going to have a place for you to come in if you're going to count this year. A lot of them count last year. This year, you'll have a place to take a bath. We have two restrooms that we have in the chapel, and they both have bathtubs and showers. And so you'll be able to shower. You won't have to go to a hotel room. You can do it right here where we're at with the chapel. In the chapel, it's going to be there to serve you, praise Yahweh. And you could wash your clothes. If we can get somebody to donate a washer and dryer, we thank you for that. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless around the world.